Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, Step Forward. Happy Wednesday. It's a Wednesday for us. I don't know what day it's going to be for you when you listen to this, but for us, it's a Wednesday. And normally, I was just telling Jericho and Katie, I used to hate Wednesdays, but now I love them because that's the day we film or record, not film, sorry. And today, this is an exciting podcast for us because it's our first time having a guest.
Yay!
Woohoo!
And we've got Joey. I'm going to butcher your last name. Sergliano.
That was actually perfect.
Oh, really?
That
okay,
was actually
perfect.
Yay, okay.
And let me think. Fun fact about Joey. He has two sisters.
True. It is true.
So that means that he probably knows how to handle emotions.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. I like
so,
that.
Ladies, hit him up.
Yeah.
Any single girls out there that need someone with an EQ, I would hope, Joey, that you have two sisters.
I do have two sisters.
That you could handle
true.
That.
It
but anyways, but so Joey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Maggie, for that introduction.
Welcome.
For those of you, before the episode, they were telling me Maggie had this special introduction for me. I was a little bit worried what it was going to be, but that was good. So, but yeah, I would assume majority of the listeners are college students. If not, and you don't know me, my name is Joey Sergliano. I'm a finance major at Southern Adventist University. A few weeks ago, I did speak at the Hamlet Community Church. I think that kind of like sparked the interest. I was actually over at Jericho's apartment, and we were kind of talking about the opportunity, maybe coming on for an episode. So I think that was kind of the spark of this all, but pretty simple, man, I guess. That's all I would say for now.
Yeah, no, it was. Like, I heard your sermon, and I was like, wow, Joey is so well-spoken, first of all.
Thank you, yeah.
Like, I would be trembling on stage. I get nervous recording a podcast, you know? So after I heard your sermon, I was like, wow, what if, you know, we brought someone our age onto the podcast that like isn't female and like has a different perspective on life and is like willing to put themselves out in front of people and speak not once, but multiple times. Because you've done this more than once, right?
It's true.
A few times. So tell me a little bit about that process. Like, what was going through your mind? Like, how did that come about for you? Like, why did you say yes
to doing public speaking or just preaching in general?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I feel like that's such a hard question because there's so many reasons that I think I got into doing public speaking and like saying yes when I just like if someone asked me to preach or something at a church or, you know, for a youth event. I would say, honestly, one of the bigger reasons was growing up, my dad was a traveling evangelist. He doesn't do that anymore, but kind of growing up, I would just go with him, and I looked up to him so much. I was like, I want to do that also. And another big reason was growing up, I played the saxophone, and that was like my main thing. And I remember in worship services, my little sister and all my friends would either play like the piano, the bass, or sing, and I didn't. And usually, like, I guess it depends on the church, but saxophone's not always in worship services that often, and I just wanted to be involved. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to try to learn a new instrument. I'm going to just go and speak. And so I remember, like, I just offered in, like, middle school to speak for it was like a sermonette, like a 10-minute, honestly, like, more, like, devotional. And I got up there. I mean, I was, like, in maybe sixth grade or so, super nervous, but I think after that, I just decided I kind of liked this, and I was like, I really didn't want to have to learn a whole other instrument to be involved in worship services, and so I was just like, I'm going to just stick with this and volunteer when I can. But I would say to the, like the whole public speaking thing, I honestly, like, I'm more nervous in this situation than I am on stage if it's like a bunch of people. I don't know why. I think that maybe it's just more interpersonal when you're with like just a group of people like this and it's so small. But I would say for anybody that wants to do public speaking or even people, I had a couple guys come up to me after that I knew were theology majors and have a fear of public speaking, but are theology majors. Yeah. And I guess it just like God inspired them to do so. And they were like, do you have like honestly any advice to kind of like, because you seem, you know, very natural upstage and all that. And I was like, honestly, just doing it a lot. Like when I first had, you know, preached for the first time, I was like in seventh grade, sixth grade in middle school. And I was like, I just read my paper word for word, didn't move at all, you know? So
didn't look up once.
Exactly. And then going into high school, I was the SA pastor. And so eventually just throughout high school, I was like asked to speak a lot for different church services. And so It's honestly just through like doing it a bunch. Like I've messed up so many times while preaching, public speaking, like embarrassing moments that it's like, and I had mentioned one in the sermon at Hamilton that at this point I just don't feel like I can even get embarrassed up there because it's like I just feel comfortable at this point, you know? So
yeah.
I guess my thought process is I think that's kind of the way God wants to use me now because once again, I'm not going to take the time to learn another instrument and I do definitely want to be involved within worship services. So I think he's given me the talent or just the trait to want to do any kind of public speaking or preaching for that matter. And so when somebody asks me, I don't really go out of my way to do so. But like the Hamilton Church pastor or their service coordinator had asked me. And so when I get opportunities like that, I'll definitely go out and speak. But I'm not always just like searching for them necessarily. So,
wow. Yeah, that's so powerful. I think it's really interesting that you mentioned feeling like there wasn't a place for you to share God on stage for a church service because you didn't lead worship. And I think that's so true for so many people, especially our generation, where we feel like if we aren't a lead vocalist or an instrumentalist, then there isn't a way for us to be able to share what God has done in our lives or be a part of sharing his word in church services. And I think your testimony saying, look, I was not the main worship leader.
Not at all.
And yet God like totally still used you in really big ways. Definitely a learning process. Like the first time God asked you to speak, it's not going to be like the most incredible thing in the world. Like it's a journey with God. But I think for anyone who feels like there isn't a place for them in church or a place for them to share what God has done, like there is. You don't have to be 100%. A worship leader to share what God has done in your life. And right, like the power of testimony is so huge. I mean, if you're willing to say God has done this in my life, then man, like God can use that in so many big ways. So yeah, I guess that's just really cool to hear you mention that in that. Yeah, there's a place for you to share God's testimony with whatever your talents are. Like you don't have to have a specific worship talent to be able to share what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
I think going off that too, it's not even just being on stage. I think the people that do AV and stuff like that, I mean, those mics have to work in order for anything to be, you know, a testimony. So I think there's a lot of ways to be involved in worship service, but it's definitely true. I think within our generation, if you don't play an instrument, if you have a fear of public speaking, you think that you can't be involved, but it's definitely not like that.
And even in the audience, like I can think about the times that I've gone to a new church and maybe felt a little bit lost in my journey with God. Like, yes, I was so impacted by the worship, but even more than that, like the old lady that came up and said hi to me in church and just wanted to hear my story, like that was so powerful. So even just going to a church, you can be an instrument for God. And like, who do you sit by? Like, go say hi to someone who you haven't seen before. And that, like, that is just as powerful as being on stage, even like, just who you are as a person and how you love on people can be so powerful too. So thanks for that.
And I would just say like, sorry.
No, okay.
I would just say like the willingness too, just like having just a willing heart is so, it's simple, but like complicated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I also think that I feel like my mom talks to me about this a lot, just saying like, what has God put in your hand? You know, like for you, Joey, it's like you weren't super musically inclined or anything, but you did have something that you felt like God put in your hand, and like tapping into that and using that for him. I think it's really easy to get stuck in a comparison trap of like, oh wow, this person's so good at this, or they're so good at that. And then you look at yourself and you're just like, well, what do I have? And I think sometimes it doesn't even necessarily matter like how capable you are of what God has given you, but just recognizing what you have and like God's going to work in that, you know?
No, back to what you were saying, Katie, about it's a learning process. I think that's one of the biggest fallacies, especially I have believed, right? That when I'm stepping into something like public speaking or doing this podcast, that the first, you know, time I do, it's going to be perfect. And if it doesn't, if it's not perfect, then I'm a big failure.
Or and the Holy Spirit isn't working or something's going wrong.
Like, oh man, I butchered that. Like they sure didn't feel God. Like, so, but no, it's a learning process because we aren't perfect. And I, like Maggie was saying, like just the fact that you're willing to say yes is so like so powerful, because a lot of times God gives people opportunities that are right in front of them, but because we want to stay comfortable and we want to stay safe with like air quotes, I just those guys like we say no, we like sit back down, we don't necessarily step forward in that. And that's kind of the topic that we're wanting to talk about today, is overcoming resistance. Because that was a word that came to my mind when I was thinking about the different questions and about public speaking, is, at least for me, resistance. Like, the world is telling me to do something else or to not do something else. Like, we're in a college atmosphere where people, it kind of is like, oh, it's cool if you don't, you know, you're not involved. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of how I felt.
Right.
And so, like, pushing past that, pushing past those, like, factors that may intimidate you, that may cause you to rethink maybe what saying yes is. Like, do you have anything, or do you have any process, Joey, like, in pushing past that resistance? Like, what the world's telling you, like, your own conflict, like, what do you think?
I would say, I mean, as far as like resistance to like doing things or getting involved in worship service, I just will say yes if anybody asks me, because I know if, the more I think about it, I probably will, you know,
say no.
I'll probably know I'm going to procrastinate or not want to do it. I would say, though, more to kind of like whether it's like certain social, you know, statuses or social norms or things like that, as far as the resistance wise, I think a big thing is being able to understand that you can have a relationship with God and also set an example and be very imperfect. And I guess I say that in the sense of, like, I think a lot of people, especially in our generation, think that you have to like literally change your entire life to be like a Christian, kind of a God-sounded type of person, and your whole life has to be completely different. Throw away all of your bad habits. And I think that creates a lot of resistance because a lot of people aren't willing to do that right now. And I the best thing I could say to that is there's definitely a lot of people who know me very personally and know that there's so many things I do that are far from being a perfect, you know, Christian and stuff, away from God. And those are things that I definitely struggle with all the time. And I think you guys probably as well. You guys, I've seen your, you know, devotions that you guys have with God, which I think is awesome, starting this podcast. But, you know, there's probably bad habits that you guys do on a daily basis. And I would say to that, it's like, I also used to be very judgmental about stuff like that. If I saw people, you know, who would go up like myself and preach or sing or worship God, but I would see them do certain things on the weekends or just other things of that matter, it was like, how do you have a balance of both of those things? And to me, that, you know, put a little resistance in my mind, because I didn't value my relationship over God over like some of the worldly things and some of the social norms at the time. And so I chose those over my relationship with God. And I think that created some resistance. How I think I was able to get over that was just accept the fact that God can use a lot of the most imperfect people to do very perfect things. And I think the big thing was that is just like accepting the fact that I'm, you know, I know there's things that I do wrong on a daily basis, and I understand that. And it's something that you know, I pray about, try to over, you know, always kind of overcome, but I still allow God to use me, because, you know, if I wasn't meant to go up and speak or do different things like that, I don't think God would be providing opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And so, and it's kind of funny. I think I do it to myself, though, by saying yes to speaking so much, because I'm going on a mission trip with some friends to Bolivia on a part of spring break. And then they had asked me again, hey, do you want to speak? I mean, I'm Italian, for those who don't know, but I do not speak, like, I don't speak Spanish or anything like that. Maybe the Italian and Spanish are going to translate a little bit. But, you know, speaking Bolivia is going to be something very new to me. And so, in that kind of instance, I was like, I mean, I'm going to be setting an example for those kids in Bolivia, too, because we're working at an orphanage over there. And I know that behind the scenes, I'm not perfect at all. And that, in my mind, has a little bit of resistance. Like, I shouldn't be speaking, because what do I have to teach these kids if I'm not at a certain point in my relationship with
God? Like,
all
these doubts in your mind.
100%. Yeah. But I'm like, God is the one that placed me here. Like, they wouldn't have asked me if God didn't want... Like, God can easily block that question of, hey, do you want to speak?
Yeah.
And he did it. So, in my mind, it's like, God obviously sees something that I don't. And so I guess for me, that's kind of how I move past resistance, is that it's very easy to have a good relationship with God, and a very consistent one, and also just be in the middle of your relationship with God, still be sinning and be just honestly a bad person at times. But and I think that's okay, because even a lot of head pastors at churches, they have bad habits behind the scenes, but we don't see that because they don't present it. And so I think, like, it's okay to be a sinner and also have a relationship with God at the same time. And I think that creates a lot of resistance within our generation, because it's seen that you can't have both. You either have to be
completely perfect.
Completely perfect. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't, like, be trying every day to, you know, better yourself, but it's more the idea of like you can be a sinner at the same time have a good relationship with God. So I think once I fully understood that and kind of implemented it into my life, that's the point when I kind of got past those, like, I would say resistance in different ways, to where now, like, I'm very open about my faith and like how I'm trying to build my relationship with God and speaking doing things like that. Cause I don't really care too much about the judgment, because whether it's hypocritical or other things like that, I know where I'm at with God. And to me, that's really all that matters. So,
Wow. There's so much to unpack there. I feel like, no, you're right. We are all imperfect people because of sin. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, like a really big lie that the devil tells us, is that we can't come to Jesus. We can't live for him because we're imperfect. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think like in this generation, and it's been here for so long, like you see all these people trying to be perfect, trying like not to necessarily do bad things, right? But I guess like at the point, like you said, like Jesus is all that really matters. And the fact that you know where you stand kind of trumps all that.
100%.
And so I think that's so cool. I don't know.
And I just think that's like a lie that the devil wants us to believe, is that you're either a sinner or like you're a saint.
That's like there's the best no way.
Crossover, yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think it's like he takes a little bit of truth, you know, because I think God, like God does call us into like his righteousness, but it's through Jesus, you know? And I think he takes that little bit of truth of like, oh, this is what God wants you to be. And then like, makes it like so not what it's supposed to be. And I think the other thing too is like, I've definitely fallen in the trap of like putting certain sins on pedestals. Like, this is like the worst possible thing that you could ever do. But what it's led me to is like living in complacency of my own sin. Like, I was literally just like journaling the other day, and I was like, the amount of years that I have just lived with jealousy and comparison and like putting people down in my mind so that I feel better about myself. And I've never felt guilty about it. And I literally wrote down, I was like, Jesus, like this is my year for you and me to address this, because it's not fair for me to be judging other people. And yet I can't even look at myself and be like, wow, like I have so much junk. Who am I to even come for someone else when like, I don't even know, like, I don't even know where they are with God. And yet like, I just assume all of these things.
I think with that though, it's kind of how I determine where I'm at with my relationship with God in certain places, is what I have a conviction of. And so I think that like, there's a lot of things, I guess the best way I would put it is I know I probably shouldn't be doing, but to be honest, I just don't have a super strong conviction to stop them just yet. There's other things I have a stronger conviction to stop. And I think that it's because God doesn't ask us to, like we said, do a full like 360, because that's kind of hard to do when you have like a certain lifestyle set. I think he slowly starts giving us stronger convictions of things that he sees in our life that holds us back more than others. And is like, I want you to take this out of your life. When that's done, then I'm going to give you a stronger conviction on this thing. And so I don't necessarily worry about, and I guess that's how I kind of, I guess maybe live a double life in a way at times, because there's certain things that I know, you know, this is probably not the best, but I can't, I don't know why I still have that temptation to keep doing them and these things. But I'm like, I just don't, I ask, and you know, I pray God, hey, like, tell me if, you know, this is something you need me to like right now stop doing and things like that. And I don't feel a super strong conviction about this, but there's something that I'm not really praying about that I do feel a strong conviction. I feel honestly more guilt that I do than this thing. And so I take that as, well, let me start attacking this kind of sin or whatever this, you know, bad habit is first, because that's where my conviction lies. Once I deal with that, then I'm going to, you know, if God gives me the conviction to this thing, that's when I'm going to kind of deal with it. Because when you even look at the story of, you know, Paul or Saul into Paul, Jesus could have, you know, transformed him at any point throughout his life. Like, why did he do it right then when he was honestly a little bit older? And I just think it was the right time for him. And I think God was just a part of God's plan. So there's going to be certain things that we may be having bad habits and falling into temptation till we're very old. And it may not be until we're around that same age that, you know, Saul was when he was transformed to, that we end up fixing them. And I think it just aligns with God's plan for our life. And a lot of times also, I think our sins help us minister to people who are currently in those situations too. Saying, hey, I've been there. Honestly, I'm right there right now, but look, I'm still preaching. I'm still getting involved. Like, you don't have to be perfect either. And so I think at times God can use those sins and temptations that we fall into for the better of it. And I guess that's the way I would say if someone's like, they hear this, but they don't really know how to go about their life like that, is whatever your convictions are, those are the ones that I believe God is telling you to fix at the moment. And then once you start attacking them one by one, keep moving on, like, with your life. But don't focus on changing every single thing that you feel like is wrong. Like, God will place what's most important to be changed at the moment, I feel like.
Yeah, it reminds me of the song that's like, fight my battles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, all the words. But ultimately, like, every day when I wake up, it is such a choice. And, like, you were saying how you're convicted about different things each day or in each period mm-hmm. of your life. And I think that's so true. Like, if we start trying to focus on changing ourselves, like, through ourselves, it's not necessarily going to work out necessarily in the way we thought, because then that transforms into, like, what am I doing?
100%.
Like, through me, like, how can I change? It's me, self-focused. But like Maggie said, like, through Jesus, we choose a life of righteousness. And through him, we can remind ourselves every day, every morning when we wake up, like, am I choosing to rejoice in God today? Am I choosing to allow him to work through me? And I think that just shifts the focus onto him. Like, we are unperfect, we are imperfect people, but the way that we can function fully in his love is through him and by choosing
right.
him.
Right.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah. It just, like, reminds me, I did a presentation one time, and one of the things that, like, I mentioned was, I don't know, I think I just saw it on, like, a YouTube video, but this guy was talking about how to create new habits, and he's like, a lot of the time we put really high expectations on ourselves. And I think the same thing happens when we come to God. We're like, okay, God, like, I'm going to change, like, everything, like, all this, blah, 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 blah. But, like we're people of habit, so it is really, really hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. But he talks about, like, just what you should do if you're trying to create a new habit is, like, set the bar so incredibly low. He's talked about, like, how he was in med school, and he was like, okay, I want to study for an hour right before dinner, like, every single day. But what he did first was he literally set a 2-minute timer, opened up everything, acted like he was getting ready to study, the timer went off, and he walked away, because he was trying to create that habit, telling his brain, this is the time I'm gonna study. And so I think, like, the same thing goes, like, for us and God too, is just, like, having the grace for yourself to be like, I'm gonna start small, whether that's opening your Bible app and reading the verse of the day until it's a 10-minute devotional, until it's a 20-minute devotional. And I think the first thing is pursuing Jesus, and everything else will follow. And, like, also what you said, Jericho, like, we are imperfect people, but praise God that we serve a perfect God. Because I think it's just, like, through him and by him that we are changed.
Yeah. Katie, do you have anything? It's resistance just encompasses so much. I think, like, we also talked about resistance and resilience, like, what makes us resilient. And so I ask you, Joey, what do you think makes us resilient in our walk and, like, in life?
I think, like, in our relationship with God, at least for me, is kind of, again, I don't know if I would consider this, like, super deep, but just that, in the sense, I think now in my relationship with God, I do feel kind of empowered by it. And so I feel very resilient in different ways because of that. Like, I don't feel like my relationship with God is, like, a weight on my shoulder kind of holding me back. And so I feel like it allows me to be resilient, push through different things. In life in general, I mean, I guess that's just different for every person. But I think obviously my relationship with God allows me to kind of push through things. And I spoke a little bit in it about it when I was, you know, preaching at Hamilton a few weeks ago. But I think there is definitely this perception that having a relationship with God is a weight on your shoulders, and it just makes your life way harder. When realistically, that's just not true. And I mean, I really do just refuse to believe that. There's obviously things that you have to sacrifice, but I really feel like when I decided, hey, I'm going to actually, you know, try to have a relationship with God, I felt more resilient. I felt more empowered and confident in different ways because I felt like I had a stronger backbone of something that wasn't dependent on me. It was dependent on God. So it's something that's not going to break. And so I think that's the best way I would put it, is just understanding that your relationship with God is not going to make your life harder necessarily. It's not a weight on your shoulders. If anything, it's something that empowers you and honestly gives you more of a vision for life. And that, because of that, I do feel like I'm able to be more resilient in different things, whether it's spiritually or just in life in general.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, I like that. I think like when I completely center my focus and my priority on God, everything else fades away.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the stress of tests or exams or projects or a debate, like time will pass either way. And what we choose to do with that time and the way we look at that ultimately shapes the outcome, I think. And then in our relationship with God and just like understanding that there are going to be trials that shape us, but ultimately we have someone to walk through them with, to me shapes my resilience. Because I don't know, like we kind of talked about this last week when we were talking about change, but like accepting that God is walking with us. He is all we need. Maybe this is 2 weeks ago. He is all we need. Like, I think that really, I don't know, puts our lives into focus and creates a resilience and something that the world cannot offer you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel so much peace. You feel like, wow, I'm where I'm supposed to be and I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And I think recognizing that you are not alone might be one of the first steps of shaping resilience, because you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting when you first say the word resistance, to me, my brain immediately goes to negative.
Mm.
And well, yes, obviously nobody wants resistance in their life, whether that resistance is something that's blocking you from totally stepping into what God has called you to do, like anxiety or insecurity or whatever that is, or resistance to maybe chasing a dream that you've wanted to forever. Whatever that resistance is, I usually think of that as negative. Like, oh man, nobody wants resistance in their life to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think what's so beautiful about the Christian outlook of life is that resistance can actually mean something beautiful. If you have resistance in your life, like that means that God is doing something in your life and the enemy is freaking out about that.
Yeah, right.
Like that's something to celebrate. If you are in a place, like to our listeners, if you're in a place where you feel like there's a lot of resistance in your life, like everything that you keep trying to do, you keep failing at, or everything that you feel like God is calling you to step into, you just keep imperfectly stepping into that and failing, quotes, failing. I would just say to you, you're okay, because resistance is not a reflection of you. It's a reflection that God is doing something in your heart and the enemy's freaking out about that.
Yeah.
And to me, like that's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
Which is such a funny oxymoron, because which I mean, I feel like God is full of that, of things that don't make sense. You know, you think of blessed are the poor, you know, the whole like everything is so opposite in the Bible, where when you originally think about the idea of resistance, it's like, oh man, like this sucks. I feel like I keep failing. I feel like everything that I'm pursuing just keeps falling through the cracks. I feel like God calls me into these things and I, you know, say God's calling me to share my testimony, but I feel like I keep failing because there's so much resistance. And the week before, like I'm just being so attacked by the enemy.
Mm.
To me, the world will give you the narrative that that is a terrible thing.
Mm.
And I think Jesus comes in and says, hey, let me redeem that. Like resistance can actually be a good thing. 100%. You can experience resistance in your life. And when you look at it as I'm failing, then it becomes negative. But if you look at it as, oh my stars, God is doing something big in my heart, right? Like God is about to make a breakthrough. And the devil's freaking out about that. Like he is placing that resistance on my life because he knows that me and Jesus combined are a powerhouse for the kingdom. And he's freaked out about that. So let's celebrate that, you know, which is such a complete opposite look or outlook on life that gives me so much joy when it gives my heart energy, because I no longer feel like the resistance in my life is a failure. It's actually God doing something big in my heart. And the resistance is from the enemy because he doesn't want God to win in your heart.
Yeah.
So yeah, like if you're experiencing resistance in your life, don't freak out. That's okay.
Right.
That's normal. It's just proof that there is a war going on for your heart. And God will give you the ability to have resilience in that resistance and to be able to push through, because he's promised to have the final victory. Like, resistance is a part of the journey, not the ending.
Right.
You can walk through that resistance and know that, like, Jesus will have the final victory like he did on the cross. Mm. And so to me, resistance is just more proof that God is real and that he's doing something in your life.
That's true.
Not a reflection of how well you're doing in life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no. It's like Satan. Okay, first of all, Satan is extremely smart. And so if he knows who, like, what you are capable of doing, imagine what he knows what you can do with God.
Oh my goodness. Right? Times 10.
So he's like, oh, trying to, you know, nick that. And you're like, you know, anyways, I really like that. And it reminded me of the verse in Romans, the verses 2-5, where it talks about, like, God brought us into this place of privilege, undeserved privilege. But because we love him, because he loves us, we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing his glory. And then it goes in and it talks about, like, how when we run into trials and problems, we know they will help us in develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And I don't know if you guys want to continue to just read that whole chapter. It is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But that's like describes our journey. He puts us in this place where we can confidently share his love and his glory and do amazing works with him and through him, even though it's undeserved.
Right. Yeah. And also, I just feel like we need to change our mindset a little bit. I think sometimes it's really easy to get stuck in this, like, Jesus brings everything good into my life. And, like, yeah, he does, but we also still live in a sinful world. So obviously we're going to experience that resistance. And it just reminds me of, like, one of me and Jared's psychology professors. He says in class a lot, he's like, nothing good comes without tension. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's so good. And it literally just aligns with what we're talking about. Like, nothing good comes without tension. Like, if we're not willing to go through some hard stuff for Jesus, like, then what's the point? You know, like, we're stuck in a sinful world. I think we need to, like, I remember I was talking to a friend and she was just like opening up to me about some stuff. And I just was like, sister, listen, I was like, you're going to experience pain.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to experience hurt and frustration, and people are gonna hurt you. But I was like, but that shouldn't be a reason that you don't step into something. Like, and I think sometimes, at least for me, like, I go into avoidance mode of, like, how can I avoid the most pain or the most hurt? But, like, I think it's through that we learn and we grow and we experience God even more than, like, we would if we were just living in a La La Land, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's... Oh, Jeremy,
no, I didn't have
to. I think that's big because it kind of goes off what I said earlier about, like, we were talking about how, you know, youth not always being involved or you know, not finding a place within worship. And I think that's a big reason is that, yes, when you start to develop a relationship with God, there's different, like, trials and things that come your way. And it you do feel a lot of pain, for sure, because you have to sacrifice a lot of things. But I think it's kind of... that perception is also, I think, it's hurtful to us, too, in a relationship with God, because I think it's just kind of a switch off. I think when we have a relationship with God, it's just a different kind of challenges and trials that we have to face versus when we don't have one, we still face challenges. Like, it's not like atheists versus Christians or one has a perfect life, you know? Yeah. I just think it's the type of things that we're having to face are a lot difficult, and I just think they're different challenges. So I think it's kind of the idea that people that don't have a relationship with God or face, you know, have a perfect life, and as soon as they, you know, decide to kind of dive into a relationship with him, that their life is gonna be a lot harder. And it is true, like, there's definitely a lot of things that come with it, but it's hard in life no matter where you're standing. I just personally would like to have a relationship with God and have somebody there for me rather than, you know, trying to deal with it all alone. So I guess that's my big thing with that kind of topic is, like, life is going to be hard no matter what. There's always going to be challenges, but you kind of get to decide who you deal it with.
Yeah, who you walk with.
Exactly.
Yeah, the rain falls on both types of soil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just who you choose to walk you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this has been so life-giving.
Yes, as always. If you guys have been listening this far, we just want to say thank you. As always, we really hope that you felt Jesus closer to you through this podcast. And Thank you, Joey, for being on this podcast.
Thank you guys for having me.
Joey is someone who, when I get to watch you live your life here, because we go to the same college, I get to watch Joey, and from the outside looking onto your life, I believe that your life story is such a testimony to what happens when you continually say yes to God. Mm-hmm. Because you're saying, I just say yes when people ask me. And you know what? Like, the more that you've said yes, the more people have asked you to speak.
It's true.
And it's because the more that you say yes to God, the more he's going to use you.
100%.
And I just want to say thank you for inspiring me personally with, like, your life story and the power of saying yes to Jesus. Like, the power of saying step forward. That's literally the whole reason we started this podcast is to say there's power in saying yes to Jesus. Like that's all he's calling you to do is say yes, and that's it. And I think full circle, bringing it back to what we opened the podcast with, was just saying that Jesus has a place for us. We were talking about it in the context of church service, but I think even in the greater context of the kingdom is that Jesus has a place for you. And if you're listening to this right now, I just want you to know that regardless of what you bring to the table, Jesus has a place for you, and he's willing to walk that journey with you. We talk about resilience to the resistance today, and I think the biggest thing to having resilience in the resistance that you experience in your life is, like Joey said, who do you let walk it with you? Will you let Jesus walk the resistance with you? Because if you do, he promises that you will have victory in the end. So I just want to encourage you today, if you have felt like you are experiencing a lot of resistance in your life right now, everything just seems to keep blowing up in your face, I just pray that you have peace today, knowing that Jesus is walking that with you, and he's promised to have the final victory in the end. As we close out this podcast, something that was coming to my mind was the tabernacle in the Old Testament, where Jesus tells his people, the Israelites, to basically create this sanctuary. And you can read it in the Old Testament about the layout of the sanctuary. But I remember reading this, and I read a couple of the verses that were describing the layout of the sanctuary or the tabernacle that the Israelites built. And the most interesting thing to me was that the wash basin came after the altar. When you walked into the sanctuary, the first thing that you hit was the altar. And once you experienced the sacrifice of the lamb, you experience the wash basin afterwards.
Oh, that's big. That's so big.
And so today, like, if you are walking a journey of resistance, know that if you are headed towards the tabernacle, aka Jesus, the first thing you're going to experience is the sacrifice that he made for you. And that's what the whole idea of Jesus calls you as you are. Like, Joey said yes to what God did in his life, and Jesus didn't ask you to step to the wash basin first. Like, he brought you to the altar and said, look what I've done for you. I want you as you are. Like, you can enter the sanctuary before you've been washed. Doesn't mean the washing isn't coming. Praise the Lord. Like he's going to clean you. You're talking about the journey you're on where God is slowly, like, creating new habits in you, giving you a new heart that is, like, focused and on him and towards other people. But know that wherever you're walking and whatever journey or resistance you're facing, that the altar is the first thing Jesus wants you to see. And when you say yes to that, you will experience resilience in the resistance that you're experiencing in life. And so, yeah, we just want to say we love all of our listeners. And we obviously know that we don't have all of the truth or the answers, but we can speak life into what God has done in our lives. And man, how powerful. Like, hearing you say, God has been big in my life. And when I say yes, he just keeps doing things I can't even explain. And it's the same for us. When you allow God to give you the strength to step forward in what he's calling you to do, yes, you will experience resistance. Like, the devil doesn't want you to be able to step forward into that, but that's okay, because God has promised to walk it with you and to give you final victory in that. So yeah, we just want to say thank you for listening, and we hope that you feel closer to Jesus after this, and that you have strength and energy to continue walking, to invite God to walk the resistance you're experiencing with you, and ultimately to have faith and know and have joy that God will give you the end victory in whatever you're facing. All right. Thanks for listening.